Where are you headed on your next trip? Have you considered the environmental impact of your adventure? Listen to the Travelin' Green Divas to get tips for healthy, safe, and eco-friendly travels. Hey, Alice.
Hi there.
It's been a long time.
It has been a long time. I'm excited to be joining you today from Los Angeles.
Well, I guess in some small, weird way, we've benefited from your being grounded, man.
Yeah. You know what? It's funny because I've actually had in the last week and a half a lot of opportunities via Zoom and phone calls and things like that to catch up with a lot of people and fellow travel freelancers and things like that because of this. So there is a silver lining, definitely. To be able to connect with people.
And I wanted to let our listeners know that I'm Green Diva Meg, and we're sitting in today with
Green Diva Lisa.
Yay. We're coming to you from GD Ponderosa Studios.
Whoa. Oh, Alice, we have a new studio we're very excited about.
Well, I'm excited to come and see it when we can travel again.
That would be brilliant.
So it does seem a little like, geez, why are you talking about travel now, Meg? But Alice had a really good idea, and she's kind of up on what we can and cannot do and how people can plan travel and some ideas for what she called micro adventures, which we've been doing, by the way. So, Alice, tell us, you know, what's happening in the travel world that isn't obvious.
Yeah, well, I mean, as many of us are now realizing, travel right now is pretty much off limits outside of your state, definitely internationally. It's not really something that we can do right now. And I actually took the last couple of days to reach out to a lot of other journalists and people that were planning on going on trips that have unfortunately had to obviously put plans on hold. A bunch of states added to the states that are also on stay-at-home measures today. So we have, I think, over 16 states now that have enacted stay-at-home measures, and almost every state has at least some communities that are asking people to stay home. So I'm not sure how long that's going to last. I would say by mid-April, things are probably going to be less restricted.
But maybe not.
But maybe not. And I don't think that people are going to be back traveling until at least the end of the summer. And I would say that for people looking to book trips or rebook things that they're canceling, I would say like October would be the safest bet. Talking to a lot of other females that I know in the travel space, most of them are postponing things till at least October. And a lot more people are just saying, I'm going to go next year. So that's kind of the overall climate right now. And I've been looking into a lot of the current travel restrictions that are going on as well, which I will cover briefly as well.
I have a question.
Yeah.
What on earth is this going to do to the travel industry, to airlines, to trains, and what's going to happen? I mean, are we going to all now have to pay a couple $1,000 for a basic economy crunch ride across the country in next year?
Well, it's really gutting the industry. Obviously, there's been huge layoffs in the airline industry, as most of us have already heard. And if you're paying attention to the news, which I know a lot of us are not right now because it's not happy stuff, you may see that journalists and people that are kind of on the front lines that are now trying to return home are coming back on completely empty planes. A lot of airlines have canceled and suspended a lot of their routes or are just doing like one or two routes. Hawaiian Airlines just announced today that they are going to be almost all of their international flights, except for one flight a day from Honolulu to Los Angeles. And a lot of other airlines are doing that same thing. Hotel brands are going to start having massive layoffs as well, as people are not obviously staying in hotels right now. But I think going forward, I think that when this ends and we have the all clear, I think that everyone is going to be so excited for people to travel again that they're going to be having crazy deals to get people back on planes, back into destinations. you know, much of the world lives off tourism. A lot of communities, that's like their only way of making money. So people are definitely going to want to get back into tourism with a vengeance. And I think we're going to see a lot of really good deals. Now, if you do have money set aside and you're not worried about needing that money right now to go to something else, like groceries or something like that, or your bills, if you're not working, now is a really good time to buy tickets for maybe a year from now, maybe 6 months from now, to a place that you want to go, because everyone is having crazy deals because everyone's still trying to have some sort of money coming into their businesses. Yeah.
Right.
What I've been reading is they've let up on restrictions in terms of changing your plans.
Well, they have to, because those flights, those routes might not be available in 6 months. Yeah.
But that makes it even more attractive, desirable.
Yeah,
absolutely. I'm going to get into that with the airlines and the cancellations. I just did want to touch on where we are right now with what countries are still available to travel, which ones are not. So if you do have travel that you are planning on maybe doing in the next month or two, most countries have actually closed their borders for at least 14 days, many of them 30 days. They've asked tour companies, hotels, and Airbnbs not to accept new bookings. And currently, international travel for American travelers is a level 4, which means it's the highest risk out of any risk assessment that the United States does for travel. And that is for 30 days. So that would be through the end of April, basically until the beginning of May. And we're not sure if that's going to be extended, but that is a possibility, obviously. And then also Canada, the Mexico, European Union, the UK, Peru, Ecuador, those countries have all closed their borders. And then Africa, which actually doesn't have that many cases as a whole, I think they have left the entire continent, but they're taking measures to make sure that people aren't coming into their countries and infecting people. So Kenya, Uganda, and South Africa have restricted travel from any place that has more than 200 reported cases, which would now be the United States, European Union, Asia. And they're enacting a 14-day quarantine for anyone entering the country from any of those places.
Boy, they should do that with the whole continent.
Yeah. So they're starting to do that with several South American countries as well. Argentina, Chile, Costa Rica, completely closed to foreigners. And then Brazil doesn't have very good regulations right now, but there are some provinces in Brazil that's doing that as well. And you can actually find a full list of all of this information on the U.S. State Department website. So if you do have a trip coming up in the next month or a couple months and you want to double check, that's the best resource for that. Mm-hmm. And that's always super up to date and will tell you how many cases and if there's any other information that you need to be aware of for traveling to that place as well. And more states are starting to enact travel bans as well. Hawaii announced today that they're going to have a 14-day quarantine for the whole state. And then any arrivals for the next 30 days, actually up until May 20th, will be subject to a 14-day quarantine.
Wow.
So, yeah. So that's what I was saying. It's really, I think June would be the earliest for people to really be able to go and take any vacation. But I'm seeing conferences and travel-related events still being canceled that were supposed to take place in June and July. And most of those are either postponing indefinitely or being moved to next year. So that's why I'm saying fall is probably going to be when we're all traveling again, which is unfortunate for many of us. And then as far as airlines go, as you ladies mentioned, airlines are actually being really flexible right now. And most of the travel industry is as well. So pretty much all of them are allowing you to cancel and use the credit to rebook for a future date. If you booked it within, like if you booked it in March or you were supposed to travel in March or April, they're being pretty flexible. Now, what they're not being flexible about is travel insurance. So if you booked something and whoever you booked it with is not allowing you to cancel and you use travel insurance, well, you're probably not going to get your money back because right now taking a trip is a known risk. And so it's outside the realm of travel insurance.
Oh, man.
It kind of makes sense.
Yeah. So, and that was basically happened as of January 21st. The travel insurance providers considered coronavirus crisis as of January 21st a known event. So if you booked anything after that too, especially a country that already had infections, you're probably not going to get your money back through travel insurance. So hopefully you booked direct. But most of the places that if you book direct, they're much more flexible with canceling or allowing you to use that money for a future reservation. Good. It's just that people aren't giving you your money back directly. So you are going to have to rebook in most scenarios. Yeah. The only, But that means you can still take your vacation. It's just not going to be right now.
Right. So I heard, like, I don't mean to stop your train of thought, but I heard a random thing this morning, and I don't remember what the source was. It was something in my feed, you know. But that referencing a lot of very wealthy people have taken off in planes to remote islands where they feel like they're not going to be affected by this. Is that true? And are private jets still flying?
Probably.
Yeah, absolutely. I was actually on a movie in Atlanta up until last Friday, and our main actors Thursday night, because we didn't know we were going to be shut down, but on Thursday afternoon on set, we were being told that the rumors was, oh my gosh, this person's leaving on his private jet tonight and that person. And we were like, well, if we're not going to have actors, like obviously we can't continue shooting.
Right.
And then of course we had a publicity stunt of a explanation that evening for somebody, and I won't name names, Instagram account saying, oh guys, I want to get you home to your family. But we still didn't, we weren't given an announcement that we were going to be shut down until the next night. And all the actors had already left on their private jets. So I would not be surprised at all about that. But the thing is like so many Hollywood people are already sick. So it's like, well, you're taking your sickness with you and then you're going to go and infect whoever's on those islands. And that's been a problem in Washington State, who for whatever reason did not go into stay at home orders until today. They just announced it. They are now under stay at home orders today. But the problem in Washington was that, you know, they have these hard hit areas in Seattle and Kirkland, and they had all the wealthy people in Seattle leaving Seattle, packing up their cars and their families and going to the more forested rural areas to their vacation homes and then going to the stores there, wiping out all the limited resources for those smaller populations. And then not only are they now infecting the rural community, but they're taking away all their supplies.
Yeah. The governor of New Jersey, because of course we have the Jersey Shore and there are a lot of wealthier people who own homes down there, second homes. He said, please do not retreat to your shore houses because the infrastructure cannot handle a full time, you know, a full scale population that's sick down there. You know, they're prepared for a much, much smaller full time population.
Right.
So, yeah, it's the same kind of thing. And yeah, people are like, well, of course, you know, if I had a beach house, I might want to be.
Yeah,
I might want to be there. But frankly, I'm pretty happy where I am, to be honest with you.
Well, we're lucky here.
Yeah,
that's
we're
for
very
sure.
lucky.
But I did talk to somebody from Austin, Texas last night who said, oh, they're just, they haven't locked the city down. Wow. They're just doing it, I think, today.
Well, the middle of country is infecting slower. It's,
but
it's
Austin,
like,
Texas. It's a, you know, people are coming in and out of there from everywhere.
I know.
They just canceled their South by South this, you know.
Well, they canceled that a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. Should have been a clue.
Right.
People? Yeah, Texas only has, I'm looking at the current list here, Dallas, San Antonio, Tarrant County, Collin County, and Austin, but they all went into effect yesterday and today.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Yeah. And a lot of, it's interesting because most of the states and cities that are going into stay at home did it as of either today, yesterday, or the day before, outside of Los Angeles, which we obviously did it last week. And I'm not sure what you guys did in New York and New Jersey, but
it was last week.
Yeah, we've been locked down for over a week now.
No, Sunday was the official stay-at-home order.
And today is Monday? What is today?
It's Tuesday.
Tuesday. Yeah, so it's been over a week.
But we knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did too here. Well, I'll keep moving. And I just do want to touch on one thing, one more thing with travel insurance is if you are going to buy a trip that's maybe 6 months from now or October, some time limit like that, this would be, I don't usually buy travel insurance, but this would be a time, I think, in just the world that I would highly recommend buying travel insurance. And the kind that you want to buy is the cancel for any reason coverage.
Perfect.
Because that one is an add-on to the usual travel insurance, and it comes with a rider that allows you to just cancel it for whatever, because most of the time it's like, it either has to be the airline or you're sick and you have a doctor's note, something like that.
Right.
So that's what you want to look for, is like cancel for any reason.
This is the rider that most people right now don't have.
That's exactly what you're saying. Yeah.
That's a really important note for anybody booking going down the road there.
Yeah. And if you travel a lot, there's a couple travel insurances that you can buy that are like a yearly subscription. One is called GeoBlue if you're a Blue Cross Blue Shield member. Also, American Express Platinum comes with $20,000 of emergency medical expenses. But the other one is called MedVac. And those are basically like a yearly subscription you can get. And if you do have to get rescued somewhere, or you get sick and have to be hospitalized and transported somewhere else, i.e. if you got coronavirus and had to be quarantined for two
right.
weeks in a foreign country, they would help you take care of the
nice.
Expenses for that.
Well, these are important
Good
things
to
now.
Know.
So I love the idea you mentioned when we, you know, before we got on the air here, we've been corresponding about micro adventures. And we've been doing that here, I think. I'm going to hear what you have to say about it, but I'm pretty sure it's what we've been doing.
Yes. And that's what I wanted to get into next. So right now, you know, we've had this, everyone's that is having to stay home is like, oh, let's go get outside. The problem is that's causing an issue with our national parks, state parks, because instead of staying apart, now we're more together just in the outdoors. So it's causing a different and new kind of issue. And a lot of the national parks actually last week were like, oh, we're going to waive entry fees so we don't have queues at the entry fees and make it difficult for our rangers. Now, because so many people went to national and state parks and kind of screwed up the self-isolating thing, a lot of the national parks are actually closing. So it's really important, if you do want to get outside, which I highly recommend everyone goes and takes walks and gets outdoors, you know, if you can't get there via your own 2 feet or a bicycle, then it's probably not somewhere you should be exploring. So, and obviously for people that live in cities like myself, anyone in New York, you know, these bigger cities where it's not so easy to get out into nature, that makes it a little bit more difficult, which is why micro adventures are a fun thing that you can do. And they're going to also spark your creativity as well. So one of the things that you can do, which I was just thinking about, like what things, you know, that I would want to do with my boyfriend here, like if you have kids, you guys can make a homemade pizza and then grab your kids or your husband or whoever, get a picnic basket and then walk outside down the block. Maybe you have a park. Maybe there's just a nice place to sit somewhere near you and enjoy an impromptu picnic to watch the sunset. So that's one of the ideas. But micro adventures are all about kind of doing spontaneous things in your own neighborhood. So you shouldn't have to drive there. It should be somewhere where you can walk or bike there. But try to come up with things that are going to stimulate our brains in a new way. Like the other day, I went for a walk on a completely different route than I normally would go running or walking on. And I found some street murals that I had never seen. And I thought that was really neat. And that was something new that I hadn't experienced before. And I was telling my boyfriend yesterday, I was like, you know what I'm going to do tomorrow is I'm going to walk up to Melrose, which is about, I don't know, a mile from us. And I'm going to, we have like a bunch of murals on Melrose. And I said, I'm going to go and I'm going to go and photograph all the murals. And that's not something I would ever do. So it's just trying to think outside the box of like, how can you explore your neighborhood in a new way? And how can you make it fun for your family or your kids to be able to engage with your local area? And also even like things in your house, like making something fun to eat or let's all bring a pad of plain paper and some markers and let's go walk around until we see something that we think is really beautiful and we're all going to draw it.
That's a great idea.
I love it. Yeah, we've been doing, see, we're not in a city here. We're on 10 acres. So we're all about the wildlife here. And we also are within 2 miles of 28 miles of trails. They're just magnificent. And we've only really discovered like 5 of these miles. And we've been doing this 3.5 mile loop with walking, running with the dog. And we have discovered an eagle's nest. And 2 eagles. And we can see them from the distance. And we keep saying, well, we're going to go back with binoculars and a real camera.
And some water boots.
And so this past Sunday, we just like, we're doing it. And we got our bog boots on. And we went out there with the big camera and the binoculars. And what an adventure, man. How cool. We got to, well, we were like standing right underneath this eagle, right under the tree. And whatever it was, we're not sure. There's 2 of them, but this one particular, I don't know which one it was, didn't even flinch. It wasn't remotely concerned about us.
I was trying to see if any eagle feathers had fallen from the nest, and I tried to get over there, and I stepped into the bog and ended up mid-thigh high in bog goop.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I wasn't alone because we are known to have some quicksand in the area. So luckily I was able to get out and slosh my way back to the car.
So like that was one day, and that was like a 3 hour. Like we've been spending a lot of time outside, but our own yard has become this amazing. And so the next day it's rainy, it's cold, it's like, ugh. And I hear this weird screechy sound. I don't know what it is.
Trumpeting and kind of sound. Actually.
Lisa calls me and says, hey man, I think there's a couple heron out in the back. So I go out running out there with my camera. And I see these guys and I'm like, they've got red heads and they look a little bit like small ostriches. Like, what the hell? And, you know, I thought I had emu running around my backyard. So it turns out that there are these sandhill cranes, which for this area is kind of rare.
Yeah, they used to be here. So it looks like they're back, which is maybe an upside of this us all staying home stuff.
I don't know, man.
Well, nature is definitely coming back in a lot of places. I don't know if you guys saw the clear waters in Venice. And, you know, we have beautiful skies here in L.A. It's less air pollution than I've ever seen in my life.
Less traffic. Too bad you can't really enjoy that so much.
Yeah.
So I think what you're saying is what I'm hearing is the thing that we're trying to do is pay attention in a different way to what's around you and be present, much more present. I mean, because what else are we going to do?
Every day can be an adventure.
And I will recommend, there's 2 apps. One, AllTrails. I don't know if you ladies are familiar with AllTrails.
I have that one.
AllTrails is amazing. And even when I'm on road trips, I will like, because I try not to take the freeway, but I'll use it around here as well. I'll go on AllTrails and I'll just see, oh, what's within a few miles of me and pick a random trail. Like try one every day. There's walking trails and hiking trails.
Uh-huh.
So it's a really great resource if you're maybe not a walker or a hiker and you're trying to get into it with obviously the current state of things. So I definitely recommend that. And there's another app, it's called the Seek app, and it's made by World Wildlife Fund. And I highly recommend that you guys download this because if you have an outdoor space, it's absolutely amazing. It's basically an app where you can take pictures of leaves, trees, plants, animals, bugs, and it uploads it into a database and it tells you what it is. So you're like, what is this weird caterpillar? And you take a picture of it and it
fantastic.
Will match it with the caterpillar. It will tell you the name of the caterpillar, where in the world that it's found, and all the different scientific names, things like that, all kinds of information on it. So that's a really fun app. I love it, but I know that it's really good for kids too.
I'm going to guess that it's a great way for them to collect data as well.
Oh, yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah, you can also share the data with scientists to be able to help them learn where these animals are being found.
And I will say that I had posted the picture of the cranes and someone immediately popped in who lives in the area, said, oh, did you report it to blah, blah, blah? And I was like, no. So I sent, there's a Sandhill Crane, you know, association, and they're tracking them. And I reported, and they wrote me right back, thank you so much. And they had, you know, I could put the address in the map, and, you know, hey, how cool. I'm kind of helping out.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will even recommend as another micro-adventure, maybe you don't have these books at home, but like I have all these different California, I have a California Mushrooms book, I have the Audubon Society, so I have all these different books. So
right, for your
if you
region.
Have kids or... Yeah, you could just grab one and like maybe go walk around, see if you can find one of those in mm-hmm. your local neighborhood or your local woods.
Don't eat random mushrooms. Just
Don't
saying.
Eat random mushrooms.
Don't eat random mushrooms, people.
But with that Seek app, you can take a picture of it and it will tell you which one it is, if it's safe to eat or not.
So Alice, we're going to wind it down a little bit right now. And I would love for you to tell us about how we can learn about you. So you have your site, Travganic. Did I say that right?
Yep. I have my ecotourism website, which is called Travganic. And if you are interested in taking a sustainable tour, maybe later this year or next year, we have all kinds of outdoor adventures from sustainable companies around the world. If you want to hike in Peru or in Africa, in Kilimanjaro, or, you know, travel around in the United States at national parks, we've got all kinds of different stuff on there. You can also check out my YouTube channel, which is Alice Ford Adventures, and my blog, which is alicesadventuresonearth.com.
Nice. Well, it's so good. We finally connected because you and I, well, you were off in Norway and I was moving, you know. So
yeah.
it's been a little while and I am thrilled that we're reconnected, partly because you're grounded. And yet there's so much to talk about. Thank you so much, Alice. And we're going to keep up with you as things evolve.
Thank you. So nice to talk to you both. And I can't wait to come back on and talk to you about where we can travel to and bucket list destinations when
Yay.
We are able to travel again.
Take good care.
Happy trails.
You too.
Whether you're off to a tropical getaway or traveling for business, make sure to check the Traveling Green Divas on thegreendivas.com for more tips and ideas for healthy, safe, and eco-friendly adventures.